Appeal number 06-2083, Central Manufacturing et al. Versus Brett Brothers et al. Mr. Tursky.
Good morning, Your Honor. Martin Tursky representing the plaintiff's appellants in this case. Judge, I'd like to concentrate on what I feel are the core issues in this case. Judge Kaur and defendant's counsel consistently argued that the plaintiff failed to satisfy his burden of proof that the mark was in use at the time the Brett Brothers began manufacturing and selling baseball bats under the Stealth trademark. The court failed to distinguish between a common law right, common law copyright, and a federally registered copyright. Under the Lanham Act, by registering the copyright, there was a presumption of use at the time of the registration, which continued throughout. In addition, in 1985, this copyright became incontestable, and as a result, additional burdens were placed upon the defendant. The Lanham Act provides that once a copyright becomes incontestable, there are only certain defenses to that copyright registration which may be raised by an opponent. And these are specifically enumerated in the Lanham Act. Usage is not one of those defenses. One of the defenses, however, is abandonment of the copyright with intent not to resume its use. And the burden is upon the person raising that defense to prove it, and to prove it by clear and convincing evidence. The defendant has failed completely to produce any evidence to overcome the strong presumption of use and the incontestable rights that the plaintiff derived from the registration. Furthermore,
well, let's go back. I just want to talk to you about some of the evidence and evidence that Stoller produced or didn't produce. What evidence is there that Central actually sold products bearing the Stealth mark before 1999? There's a sales quote information in the record, and it gives the figures, but there is nothing, no purchase orders, no receipts, nothing that really that indicates what was actually sold to whom and received by anyone. So the record seems to be devoid of evidence showing that products were actually sold bearing the Stealth mark before 1999.
Well, first of all, the incontestable mark does not place a burden upon the plaintiff to prove that they used or sold the product. The burden is upon the opposer to prove that the mark had been abandoned. Furthermore, regarding the actual evidence that Mr. Stoller produced, I refer to you the I can find it here. Thank you. the court's opinion, the court's memorandum opinion, which quotes portions of the transcript of Mr. Stoller's deposition. Mr. Stoller brought to that deposition cases of documents in response to the defendant's request for production of documents and in response to the notice of deposition. As the transcript will reveal, defendant's counsel refused to look into these documents. He refused to examine them. What he said was, tell me what's in these documents. And there were thousands of documents there. Mr. Stoller responded as best he could that these are documents in response to your request. And counsel refused to look at them. The court has to presume that what was in these documents was in response and would have provided information regarding the sales and invoices and sales of stealth baseball equipment, which bore the stealth trademark.
Well, certainly, Mr. Stoller could have produced that in response to the motion for summary judgment if these documents existed. I mean, he did produce just, you know, one document that gave totals, but certainly to substantiate it and realizing what was at stake, that could have been produced on the motion for summary judgment, right?
Well, I think the quantity of documents that he had were really not suitable for.
So you're saying he couldn't go through the documents, or his lawyer couldn't go through to find purchase orders and receipts, his own documents, in response to the summary? I mean, this was a serious summary judgment motion, and the whole question of whether or not anything had been sold under this mark was very much at issue. He was not prohibited from submitting documents to support his summary judgment motion.
Well,
right?
That's true.
Yeah.
However, again, I submit that it was not necessary for him to prove sales and use of the mark in commerce. It was up to the defendant to prove abandonment with intent to discontinue the mark, and they haven't done that. And as a result, I submit that the judgment of the court was incorrect. The court usurped the functions of a jury in determining the quality of the evidence. The court found that the plaintiff did not produce any credible evidence of use. Mm-hmm. Credibility is a question for the jury, not for the court on a motion for summary judgment. And therefore, the judge erred in finding that in determining the credibility of the evidence.
So you're saying that it wasn't proper for the court to look at this plain piece of paper that showed 100,000 in sales of the stealth baseballs over a 7-year period and a spreadsheet showing the sales. It wasn't appropriate for the court to look at that and then to look at his deposition testimony that was contrary to what was there, and the fact that there was no backup documentation other than for companies that were out of business, so nothing could be verified. So that was improper for the court to look at that?
It wasn't improper for the court to look at it.
And to make the conclusion that this was not credible evidence.
Yes, I think that was not proper. Thank you. Again, the court erred in holding that under the Lanham Act, the plaintiff needed to show that it did not discontinue use for three or more consecutive years to be considered abandoned. It was up to the defendant to prove by clear and convincing evidence that there had been abandonment and that there was a discontinuance for three or more consecutive years, or from other evidence that there was an abandonment with intent to discontinue use of the mark. Any further questions? I've
apparently not.
Thank you.
Best.
Good morning. I'd like to state there was a misstatement about what happened at the deposition, and I think that might be important on the history of the production. Mm-hmm. So we sent out a production request in October of 2004, requesting all of the documents that would go to use, and that was not answered. So we filed a motion to compel, and that was granted, and Judge Kaur ordered that the plaintiff had to respond with these documents by January 25th of 2005. Then the deposition was set on February 8th, and the only two things that came to the deposition were a rubber softball with just a stencil stealth on it and a computer printout of that softball. There were no boxes. There was nothing at the deposition. That was on February 8th. So with that, they quoted our little sequences of going back and forth. I was trying to get Mr. Stoller to explain what was in the boxes. Nothing came up other than, well, they're in the boxes. So the one thing that I think is important, too, because of the implication, the reason this evidence didn't come forward is because of me, is that if you look at the end of the deposition, Mr. Stoller's attorney at that time said, well, we'll get you all of these documents in 3 days at the end of the week on Friday. So there was an agreement right at the end of Mr. Stoller's deposition that I said, fine, I'd like to get the documents. So when we got documents 3 days after the deposition, the only thing we got were the summary that the court had said, Justice Williams has referred to, and these quotes of these companies out of business. That's it. We didn't get anything more. So then what we did is a lawyer from my office did go out and supposedly make an inspection of all these documents that were going to be produced, and that was at an attorney's office on Clybourne Avenue. And the only thing that was there that had anything to do with baseball or baseball bats was a list of all the stealth summaries of all products. And again, that's in the record, and there were no listing of any sales of any bats at all. So with that, when the record was presented and when they had the opportunity, as the court has indicated, to respond to the summary judgment, the only thing really of record were these sales quotes to these companies out of business, no indication of any sales. Then these summaries that had just been created of sales and two different that were contradictory completely to Mr. Stoller's deposition testimony. So with that, I think that Judge Kaur had no really latitude other than to grant our motion for summary judgment, because you had a record here that even though these statements were being made that were self-serving, there was not one single record, not one invoice, not one purchase order, not one shipment document of ever any baseball being sold or any bat ever being sold by Mr. Stoller at any time, especially prior to the undisputed use of my clients in regard to the development of the bats. So with that in mind, I don't think it's correct to say that the reason that there's no evidence of the record is because of the way I asked the questions at the depositions, because of that history. And then I think the case becomes very simple, is that if you look at all the issues on Judge Kaur's decision in regard to no infringement, there was abandonment, cancellation, and fees, they all get down to the central issue. They have to have some evidence of use. And they never came up with that. They had all the opportunity in the world, and they didn't. And I believe that's what that case gets down to. And I think it should be affirmed, and all parts of it should be affirmed.
It has nothing to do with the legal question, but the George Brett's bats come with or without pine tar?
In anticipation, there's a little line on the handle about how far the pine tar can go up.
One of the great incidents in baseball history.
Right. And I think he did win that appeal, too, Your Honor.
Yes, he did.
He did.
And Kansas City won the game.
Exactly.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a short response to the matter of the documents not showing any sales by Stoller and Central Manufacturing. The record does reflect that the mark, the trademark, was licensed to an Eastern company, which in fact did make sales, and the defendant failed to get any information from Easton regarding their sales, and these sales would be reflective to the plaintiff as far as its use for the purpose of the Lanham Act. And I request that the judgment be reversed and summary judgment be ordered in favor of the plaintiff, and that all other matters be reversed. Thank you.
Case will be taken under advisement.